From the Sky News Centre at 3, Labour leader Keir Starmer's accused the Tories of cowardice by picking a fight with police instead of working with them over a Palestine march planned for central London this weekend. Rishi Sunak's meeting the Met's top policeman, who says it hasn't met the threshold for a ban. Organisers insist they have no intention of marching anywhere near Whitehall, where the cenotaph is. The Home Secretary previously called them hate marches, which was put to colleague Andrew Mitchell in the House of Commons.
We are all responsible for what we say, and she said it in the way that she did.
Teenagers in custody after another boy aged 16 was shot in Birmingham yesterday lunchtime. He later died in hospital, sparking a murder investigation. Police say they've made arrests after Just Stop Oil protesters were accused of blocking an ambulance with its blue lights on. Officers say activists failed to move out of the road during a slow march across London's Waterloo Bridge. The recreational use of laughing gas is now illegal in the UK. As of today, it's categorised as a controlled Class C substance. A statue of legendary Northern Ireland goalkeeper Pat Jennings has been unveiled in his hometown of Newry. The former Tottenham and Arsenal stopper attended the ceremony. That's despite being taken to hospital after collapsing at Monday's Premier League clash between Spurs and Chelsea. His ex-teammate Jerry Armstrong says he's firmly on the mend.
He's doing well. He's really enjoyed the day. It's been a fantastic day for him and the family and for the people of Newry Town. And the statue's amazing. Pat obviously had went to the hospital on the Monday after the game and had blood tests and everything come back normal.
And all staff in Lidl supermarkets are going to be given body-worn cameras after a surge in shoplifting and violence in stores. The discount retailer says they'll be the first in the UK to make sure the devices are in every shop. That's the latest. I'm Kevin Gover.
Right across the city on FM and around the world online, this is Unity 101.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Police and Crime Commissioner's Community Hour. This programme contains phone calls and comments from members of the public and selected invited guests. And it's important to remember at all times that any views and opinions expressed are individual opinions from these people and not those on Unity 101. Educational, discussions, informative, entertaining. The Community Hour. This is Unity 101.
Welcome to the Community Hour on Unity 101, South's only Asian and ethnic radio station broadcasting on 101.1 FM and online at unity101.org. I'm Geetha Uppal, Senior Access and Widening Participation Officer at Solent University. In today's Community Hour with my guest, the topic of discussion will be around higher education opportunities at Solent University. And this is a two-part program, of which part one is this afternoon. We're joined by heads of academic schools, all from Solent, Claire Hughes, Head of Business and Law, Brett Mayhew, Head of Art and Music, and Sarah Rediff, Head of Science and Engineering. You can also be part of the discussion with your questions and comments. Please contact the studio on 023 8023 5055. So with this, I'd like to welcome my guest. You're all very welcome here this afternoon to Unity 101.
Good afternoon.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Geetha.
Thank you. So I'm going to kick off with the question straight away because we've got quite a jam-packed out 45 minutes. And I want to make sure I finish on time today. So starting with you, Claire, please can you tell our listeners about the range of courses your academic school offers?
Thank you. So within the Business and Law School, we have your traditional undergraduate courses around business management, where we have business management with finance, business management with marketing, international business management, and business management with digital as well. We have our accountancy and finance course too, and we also have our law course, the LLB. And we also do an LLB with business and an LLB with criminology for those students who aren't sure if they want to just focus on law. We also have a range of postgraduate courses for those people who have already undertaken an undergraduate degree or perhaps have work experience that we can actually put towards it as part of our PL. So we have a global MBA, we have an MSc in project management, also in logistics, strategy, finance, marketing, and we have LLMs too. So we also support professional leadership programs, including our higher degree apprenticeships. So that's for people who are actually working for employers to use that experience alongside their academic, and also our Help to Grow program, which is for small business leaders to really help them drive their business forwards. And at the moment, we're offering a scholarship with that particular program. So for any SME owners or people that work in SMEs, that might be something you want to look at.
Brilliant. And that sounds like a great range of courses, and particularly the higher degree apprenticeships. That's amazing, because that's something we get asked a lot about in our outreach work. But we'll pick up on that point a bit later on. So moving on to Brent.
Oh, hi. So mine's really a lot of the traditional arts straight away. For the art side, can carry everything from graphic design through to illustration, fine art courses. We have that on one side. Then we have the fashion courses. We've got a lot of fashion courses. We've got everything from the people that want to design tomorrow's fashion to the people that want to promote tomorrow's fashion, or the people that actually have got very much want to go into the buying and the sourcing of fashion. Then there's the music. Well, music for us is very much the popular music side. So we've got the popular music as in you want to perform, or you want to sit on the other side of the actual desk and actually do the production, or even there's courses for both sides of it. There's also courses in the digital, just pure digital music creation. And then there are courses that are in acting and performing, as well as musical theatre. And then not to forget, which I think is very much on the far side of us from the art side of things, and mixes much more with construction, is we've got the interior design courses and the interior design decoration. Now, those are all undergraduate. We've also got foundation courses. So we're very much very famous for a lot of students coming in that maybe aren't sure which sort of course they want to, what sort of background or what sort of qualifications, and maybe a foundation is the perfect answer. And you've got to remember, we've asked this all the time with a foundation. Foundation is a chance to try everything in the arts. You don't have to know which course it is you want to go on to. That's what the foundation's for. And then, of course, we've got the postgraduate courses. And they could be, again, for a lot of mature students coming in for the first time, or even a lot of students who stay with us, to give them that extra leg up when they're looking for graduate outcomes. And those courses can range across fashion to fine art. We've got brand new courses now coming out, actually, in fine art and acting and performance for screen, as well as visual communication. So that's us. That's mostly what we cover. And we've very much taken over from that whole sort of school of art for Southampton.
Brilliant. And that, again, sounds with your traditional art courses coming in with the digital side of things, acting and performance. So, again, the huge range and the diversity is absolutely amazing. Thank you, Brent. And finally, Sarah?
Yes, thank you, Geeta. The Department of Science and Engineering is made up of four sections. All of those courses are in the STEM area. So those four sections include architecture and the built environment, which is kind of traditional construction management, quantity surveying courses, plus architectural design and technology. We then have a group of engineering courses in mechanical, electronic, and renewable energy engineering. We have computing, so things like data science, software engineering, computer science, and artificial intelligence. And then we also have the biomedical science course. A lot of the courses in the department are available in both full-time and part-time mode, plus apprenticeships at level 4 and higher degree apprenticeships. We also have a group of postgraduate students in sustainability, sustainable refurbishment. So that includes things like retrofitting and upgrading of existing buildings, artificial intelligence and data science. And that is kind of the new upcoming area that the whole world is talking about.
Yes.
And then also in like my colleagues, we also have courses at foundation level. So the whole portfolio of courses from foundation all the way to postgraduate.
Great. And that artificial intelligence will actually then come together for all the different academic schools. And as you said, Sarah, that's definitely very hot right now. And we'll pick up on the artificial intelligence MSc that Solent offers. And again, with your courses, the higher degree apprenticeship, which is a real key to higher education and to employers as well. So moving on from that, thank you for sharing all the range of courses that Solent offers in your particular academic schools. Now, let's talk a little bit about the entry requirements and the range of qualifications that are accepted for your particular course areas. If I can start with Brent, could you talk to us a little bit about not necessarily the entry points for your individual courses, but the range of post 16 or level 3 qualifications that you accept on your courses?
It's really interesting because it's just about every single sort of qualification you can think of is actually going to give you a foundation. That might be traditional, going through school, going A-levels, for example. It might be BTEC. Well, also, a lot of people forget, it's also what you're doing in the work, in the placement. You may well have started a career and decide, you know, it's not for you, you want to change, without realising everything you've been doing could have given you the perfect position to actually get onto a course. We're very much looking for that creative spark. If you've got it, we'll help you turn that into a professional qualification that's going to really get you ahead.
Okay, great. And do you have any additional selection criteria? Because you do a lot of art and design courses and performance. Is there anything other than your sort of UCAS points that you need?
Yeah, there is. This is another thing that we have a lot of people coming to us and actually asking us how to put a portfolio together. That's something that's a lot easier than people think. People think, oh my gosh, you know, I've got to be really good in the subject I want to go into. No, we're looking for really general things. So a portfolio could be something that the qualifications you're studying now. It could be something that you're really interested in. We've had students, for example, that have been really interested in photography, and it's though they're not studying it, it's what they've created a portfolio from. And then there's a chance of doing all auditions as well, and everyone thinks, oh, I'm going to be in a room with a lot of other people watching me. No, a lot of our auditions are actually online now, so you may well do a recording. You get a chance to again to practice, keep doing it again and again, and send a recording in. That could be an audition for us, right. And the same way as a portfolio.
Brilliant, thank you. So coming on to you, Sarah, could you talk to us just briefly around the type of qualification, like Brent mentioned, that you would accept on your courses?
I think one thing that's really important to highlight here is Solent University is about making higher education accessible to everyone. So we have obviously the standard UCAS entry points, but we also accept students from all different backgrounds and mixes. We are particularly proud of our mature entry routes to our undergraduate courses. We also have HNCs, so the higher national certificates are still a very popular qualification, especially in subjects like construction and engineering, and they're really suitable for people who may be needing to work and support their families, but they want to study at the same time. So that's a really attractive route for those students. The foundation courses that my colleagues have mentioned are designed to create routes for people who may have been out of education for a long time or didn't do well at school, so that gives them a route back into education. We talked about AI a while ago, Gita, and the AI course at Solent is a conversion course, right. So it could be someone studied something totally different. They might have studied chemistry or physics or hair and makeup or fashion design, but they want to upskill and take a different career path. So the conversion courses are there available for those students, again, to open access to education and future career prospects.
Thank you, Sarah. And coming on to you, Claire, of course, a lot of your courses, one would say, are very, very traditional, could be very academic. You need your sort of perhaps A-level or BTEC or level 3 qualifications. But also, if you could talk a little bit about, because you mentioned higher degree apprenticeships, if you could talk a little bit about what would somebody need who's already employed working with a company but want to do a higher degree apprenticeship, what do they need in terms of the entry requirements?
So it very much depends on the standard and the higher degree apprenticeship that they're studying. But certainly the business ones, it's around the job role, right, rather than the entry requirements. So it's being in a position where you can actually evidence the portfolio at the end. So it's really, really flexible. There is also support if you don't have some of the requirements to actually undertake that during the course as well. For example, maths and English,
yes,
where you can actually study that alongside the apprenticeship. So it is around the role rather than the qualifications. And we have got lots of students who have got qualifications but in completely different fields,
right,
and now taking up the leadership and management qualifications. So as Sarah said, it's about that social mobility and inclusivity.
Absolutely. And some of your law courses, perhaps you mentioned LLM, which is the Masters in Law, is that a conversion course, or how does that work?
So a lot of our postgraduate courses, including the ELMs, are designed so that if you don't come with lots of prior experience, you can still undertake them.
Right.
And they're designed. But if you do, equally, there's lots of, you know, work for you to do. But lots of them, including, for example, the Global MBA, you can come along and do as well.
Brilliant. Thank you. So now moving on. So we've sort of talked a lot about the different range of courses your academic schools offer. We've sort of focused around the entry requirements and the range of diverse qualifications that you accept, and also the focus on accessibility and social mobility and mature students, and not just thinking about, you know, A-level is the golden route into higher education. Now I want to talk a little bit about what opportunities, also, no, sorry, before the opportunities, I want to talk more around what is so unique about Solent. So all the courses, let's say, Solent offers or your academic schools offer would have very similar course titles at other universities. So if I'm a prospective student or a parent of a prospective student, although I know I'm very young, just joking, what would make Solent unique, and how do you differ from other universities? So what is it that, you know, why should a student consider Solent? What is the value added?
I think it's very much that inclusivity sits at the heart of everything we do. So the student is at the centre. We are a community of staff and students, and we have lots of events. So, for example, in our department, we have 4 events a year, so all of our students can actually network and work and meet each other. It's also the incredibly supportive staff that we have, who are teaching, supporting through the assessment and feedbacks. We have personal tutoring, so students actually have someone to support them with progression and decisions they might have to make about what modules they might want to study. So it really is the community feel and the fact that everyone is there to support the students.
Right. And from your perspective, Brent, why are your courses so different from any other arts-related course in the country? Just coming back to you, Claire. So just a few of the things that Brent mentioned there about industry link and the focus on ensuring students get that real-world learning.
Absolutely, because it's really important that our curriculum's up to date. You mentioned earlier how AI is moving the world onwards, and that touches every single course area. So we work with a wide range of professional bodies, for example, the Chartered Management Institute, the ACCCA, which is an accountancy and finance professional body. And by working with them, it means that we're completely up to date with what's going on in industry. We also have business advisory boards. So these are people from our local Southampton and Hampshire community, so business leaders that also we discuss our curriculum with, and they inform us as to what the skills that they feel students need, so we can build that into our curriculum as well. And that's really important as a university, to ensure that we're teaching our students not just the now, but what the future looks like for them as well.
Brilliant. And then Sarah, from your perspective?
Yes, absolutely what Brent and Claire have just said. Solent is about real-world learning. And what that means for us is is co-delivery with industry. A lot of our courses are delivered in collaboration with industry, who contribute to the teaching and assessment and learning experience of the students. And by that mean, we don't just mean guest lectures and site visits, where we have lots of examples where employers actually sit down with academics and write assessment briefs that are based on a real-world scenario that was maybe based on a project that the employer has done for a client. And then throughout the year, the students will have constant interactions with those employers. So they are getting very much hands-on experience from those employers. It's no surprise that Solent has been ranked 6th UK university for sustained employment. And if you look across the whole portfolio, you will see different examples of where staff collaborate with industry. I like to call it the extra mile.
Yes.
Because that's where the staff go in and really go out of their way to create those opportunities for the students. So when the students are with us at the university, they're not just being taught from a textbook. They are taught the real world through those opportunities.
Brilliant. Thank you. So just in case, because we had a bit of a technical hitch there, Brent, is there anything you feel that our listeners might not have heard when you were talking about your courses, if you want to sort of just repeat that?
Okay, so,
sorry.
Yeah, I think everyone might have gathered we had a slight technical problem, so we'll have a little look at, again. So, so the big area I was trying to cover, my colleagues have both covered, really, is just that it's just how much you get. The titles may well be the same at other universities. Now, they're the same because employers need to know what it is your qualifications in and need to understand where you fit within what they need within that workforce. So we've got that. But what makes Solent different is because we go that extra mile. We're far closer linked to those employers. I was saying earlier that so many of our lecturers have actually come from industry or are actually still in industry as well as alumni coming in, as well as the guest lecturers. I think that adds to everything we've been talking about.
Yes.
And we've been talking about the live briefs, for example, all of these things. So summing it all up, everything you're doing is preparing you for that marathon that is a career, because a career doesn't last 2 or 3 years. And also, don't ever forget, it's the transferable skills. We all know our students are going to change careers numerous times. So what we're doing is underlying and underpinning all of our degrees with transversable skills that are going to really aid them in lots of different directions sideways.
Great. So following on from just that point that you've made there, Brent, transferable skills. So obviously the courses itself offer so many different opportunities, the real world learning, getting our students ready for the world of work, with industry links and guest speakers, work placements, so and so forth. So what other employability or other opportunities does Solent offer, which obviously would be outside of your academic schools, for example? So in terms of, you know, while they're studying at Solent, what else can they expect support in from the student support teams, perhaps? If you would like to talk a little bit about that, Claire?
Of course. So we work really closely with a team called Solent Futures, who are the career employability and enterprise team that support the students. So, for example, we have a department event which we call Spring Forward, where we have over 40 employers that come along to speak with students. And we have, you know, hundreds of students that come to that day that Solent Futures puts on for us. But the important thing is, it's not just actually about talking about jobs. It's giving the students the opportunity to practice networking, which can be, it can feel scary if you haven't practiced it. So it's in a safe environment. That team also support our entrepreneurial students. And we're actually 11th in the UK for supporting student graduates startups, and they actually give workshops, and there's seed funding for our entrepreneurial students to mentor them to kind of take a bit of a risk and try setting up a business whilst they're with us, and we work with them on a business pitch competition to support those students onwards.
Right, brilliant. And anything else they do within your school's, Brent?
With us in particular, we work, and we talked about Solent Futures. For us, it's something that Solent Futures runs is Solent Creatives, which is our own creative agency. So we've got across Southampton, actually in the entire South, you have lots of smaller and large companies, mid-sized companies that will come directly to Solent Creatives and say they've got a creative need, and our students are getting involved. Now that means right from day one, the students getting the whole sort of, well, this is what you should be charging. This is how you write a contract. This is, so they're all the other skills they don't normally think about. So that's real world learning, and they're seeing the worth of their work. So we have that. We also have such things as RESO, which is in Southampton. It's very, very unique. We're an award winning venture from us, and we're very much the first university to ever do it. We've got our own retail outlet.
Yes.
Now, we did have that on the high street, but we all know the high street's changing. That's very much coming back into Solent to be very much more a hybrid, to do what industry is doing. It's moving online now, so we've got that. Just a couple of the couple of things we've done from the creative side. Sarah?
We create opportunities for students to, for example, take part in mock interviews with practitioners.
Yes.
So you bring people from industry to help the students with those mock interviews, so the student get the chance to sit through an interview with a practitioner in a safe environment where they know it's okay if they make a mistake, because that's not necessarily leading to a real job, but that'll give them the opportunity to receive feedback on their portfolio, on their CV, and then on their interview skills. Some of these mock interviews have led to real employment opportunities. We also make our students aware of external opportunities, such as competitions that take place in industry. One of our students, for example, last year, Ian Westhead, he won the Chartered Institute of Architecture Technologies competition. And as a result of that, him winning the prize, he was headhunted by a company that's based in Dubai who end up recruiting him, and he's now working for them in Dubai. So these are the kind of opportunities that we always make sure that our students are aware of because of the benefits it brings them.
Brilliant. No, that sounds absolutely amazing. So coming back to the point we were making earlier around social mobility and Solent being a very accessible university, and the university has a strong commitment to widening access, particularly for underrepresented and disadvantaged learners in society. So from a widening access perspective, what work have or are your academic schools doing to encourage applications from underrepresented or disadvantaged learners internally and externally that you're working with colleagues? If you could sort of, Claire, would you like to sort of start with some of the work you've done with the Access and Widening Participation Team?
Absolutely. So we're really proud that across our student base, we have 57 nationalities just within our department. Yes. And that will be, you know, wider further across the other departments as well. We do lots of work with colleges and schools. And just yesterday, we had over 100 college students in having a taste today to kind of break down the barriers and the myths about, you know, what universities are. But one of the ones that we were really, really proud of is our work with the Southampton Education Forum, where we work with 12 local secondary schools in the area. And on our, I think we've been doing it for 3 years, and we've had over 600 school children being able to take part in this competition. And the grand finalists come to the university, and again, it's just a really fantastic day for them. And you know, they do some really amazing work with us.
Brilliant. And the reigning champions, I think I can tell still.
I think they are.
Yeah. Brilliant. And Brent, from, I know we've done a lot of work together, so could you sort of highlight some of those?
we've done lots. I think there was COP26.
Yes,
where
we've
got a lot of students. I mean, it's great for me because as obviously former Bitton Park student, it's always lovely to have my old school back in whenever I can. We've recently done some work with Mount Pleasant, which was great for me. I haven't been to Mount Pleasant in years. It was lovely to see around Mount Pleasant again, see the sort of work. We're organising lots of visits very much. We're getting the students in, getting them to see. We're trying to demystify the whole university thing. And I think, especially for someone like myself, I didn't go to university originally because I didn't think it was for me. And now, so it makes it even more doubly important for me to try and help demystify it. So we're working, all of our departments are working really closely with schools. As I say, you and I have worked a lot getting schools in, getting students in to understand, of all ages, to actually understand what it's like. So, and also what the facilities they'll have there. So, yeah, we're working really, really closely with that.
Brilliant. And Brent, I just want to mention, you really support us in our Year 10 campus visits, where there is the secondary schools coming in, and we have a week in June where we're supported by Sarah's school as well as yours. And again, your team, the performance students, acting in performance students.
Yeah, acting in performance. I'm just thinking about that. That one's always good because it's interesting with the Sarah's. You've got a colleague from Sarah's area talking about engineering, and then I'm talking about the creative subjects. It's always really good because it's just so completely different. Yes, acting in performance. At the moment, they're doing a Bollywood crossover, which is really exciting. They're enjoying it. But it's also bringing in students from our hair and makeup courses, our prosthetic courses. Yesterday, for example, we had students in, I'm sorry, going to say, again, Bitton Park. They're doing a production of Shrek, so they were coming in. So we're doing the makeup for all of those courses in the prosthetics. So it's something our students really enjoy as much as the staff as well. And it makes us remember the really vital thing is this is very much we're embedded in our community and how much our community means to us.
Absolutely. And of course, you're again coming back to the point that you're giving your students that real world learning experience that they can work with the schools, they can work with the communities. For example, the show that you mentioned, which is on the 18th of November, which has been organized by Unity 101. So there is that community collaboration as well as schools and colleges. So it's all really great work. So Sarah, finally, what you got for us?
Something that I'm really, really passionate about is promoting women in disciplines that are not traditionally seen that as a place for women to work in, such as construction, architecture, engineering. So one of the things that we do is we run events and taster sessions at local schools such as St. Anne's Catholic School, where we have hosted taster sessions for in engineering. We also have taken part in WOW Assembly, Assembly. So WOW is World of Work Assemblies at some of the local schools. So, for example, Bannister School we visited last year.
Yes.
We did some a number of workshops and presented to the children. So you're talking year five and six children to make them aware of the opportunities that going to university might open up for them.
Absolutely, and it's so key that that's why we start our work at the primary level, because at that stage they need to understand what the world of work is about and how does that lead to a university course should they want to go to university. It's not that everybody wants to go, but it's the opportunity and it's an option. And at the end of the day, they have that choice. So thank you very much for that. And there's a lot of good work going on, and keep that up. And I'll be in contact soon. You'll be getting an email from me very soon or from our team. So moving on from there, in terms of, obviously, we've spoken about how early an intervention should, not intervention, but how early should we start working with future students? And we sort of focused on primary age children and then working with the secondary and then post 16 and within the community. So once they've sort of come to Solent and they've done really well and they're graduated, I want to talk a little bit about graduate outcomes now. I'm not going to really ask you about hard facts or anything, but really if you could tell our listeners about the types of careers and industries that your graduates have gone to, and anybody like you want to sort of famous alumni, but not necessarily who they are, but who they're working for, how well they're doing. Would you like to start, Claire?
I will, absolutely. I think one of the challenges for any school, college or university is there's a set curriculum, but yet every student will have a very different idea or aspiration as to what they want to do at the end. So a lot of the opportunities that we've talked about today is enabling that individual journey for each student, because that's really important that they have that chance to kind of open up the opportunities for them. Within business, we're incredibly lucky. We have students working in literally every industry, every job role across the world, and obviously here in the UK, because the curriculum enables them to take up all of those opportunities. And we try to inspire them to be aspirational. We have lots of students that work for small, medium enterprises. We have students that start their own businesses and become entrepreneurs. But then we also have them at large international and global organisations such as Airbus, JP Morgan, PricewaterhouseCoopers, Deloitte, the UK Home Office, other organisations such as EasyJet, Pinterest. And we're incredibly lucky. Our alumni are amazingly supportive because they're part of our community, and they come back and do talks and they do events, and quite regularly they network students within their own companies or give them advice about applications that they might be making.
Brilliant. That's excellent. Moving on to you, Brent.
With arts and the creative side, it's so much stuff you see around you.
Yes.
Just walking around and you suddenly realise, oh my God, that's one of our students has done that. I see it in Southampton a lot. I see a lot of, even locally, I'll see work that's been produced maybe by illustrators or graphic designers. I'll bump into some of our students that are working locally within the fashion industry. But then even further afield, you can look at some of the very biggest blockbusters that are actually coming out of Hollywood, and you'll see a lot of promotional material and you think, oh my gosh, that's some of our students from about a few years ago working in that. Or we could be looking at the latest Doctor Who series, and
yes,
we're looking at a lot of special effects. And again, it's both our lecturers,
yes,
and our students actually working on that. I'm looking at some of the work that's going on Fashion Graduate Week, and suddenly you'll see students work there again and again. It's amazing actually where it is. It's especially in the creative side. You'll see a bus go by and you'll see an advert on the side and you think, oh, that's one of our students who's gone to work for an agency in London that is suddenly coming back. You're seeing the work around, so it's very visual. A lot of big companies are from everything, as I say, from the movie industry, TV industry, through fashion, etc. And then there's the interior design. I got caught a few weeks ago, didn't realize I was amazed. I was talking to a colleague about how amazing it was in an airport I'd gone through, and it was,
yes,
like, well, it's actually one of our students.
Wow.
And it's like, wow, I've just sat down in something one of our students, you know, in a,
yes,
room that our student had designed,
yes,
or a restaurant. So it's really exciting, and it doesn't always hit you at first. It's normally after when we talk to colleagues.
Yeah, great. I'm just going to stay with you for a moment, Brent, because a lot of our listeners who are listening will be from sort of Black, Asian, minority ethnic backgrounds. And as much as they would really favour the school, the subjects that Claire's schools offer and also Sarah's school offers in terms of science and engineering and business and law, a lot of them won't really look at creative industries in the same way. Now, what would you say to a prospective parent, perhaps, maybe their child, son or daughter, really keen to follow their passion and want to go into the creative industries, want to study a car, that particular course? What would you say to that? Because I think the focus would be very much about, will they have a job at the end of it? Is there job security? Now, what you've just mentioned there, the range of different careers, how would you advise them, or what would you say to say, look, give creative industries a chance?
This is the question I get asked all the time. Yes. I'll have both parents, carers at open days. Often their children will ask questions about the course and we'll direct them. But then you'll always get that parent or carer that's looking at you saying, but what about the career? What's going forward? What's going? It is one of the biggest industries, the creative sector, in this country. It's around you everywhere. Once upon a time, people said to us, oh, books are dead, so how about illustrators, graphics? Well, no, we've got the web now.
Yes.
We've got it moving images within a device that's on our wrist or phone we wear. All of that's put together by people who are creative.
Yes.
We all walk down the high street and we'll see something that's on the wall and you realize, oh my God, that's amazing. That is such a clever idea for an advert. That's a creative person. Does it pay well? Yes, it pays very well. This is one of the things that people miss. It's also a slow burn, and that's something that people have got to realise. Straight as you come out of university in the creative sector, you're not always going to start off on the highest salaries. It's later on. It's the late 20s. That's when it really makes a difference. We're noticing. So I'll often talk to parents about that. I'll give them the latest data that is coming out from the government has actually portrayed and said, well, actually, Solent makes a real difference at 29, whether you're male, female, or whatever background you've come from.
Right.
Does make a difference. But yeah, it is the question, Gita, I get asked all the time from carers, what are the careers in the creative sector?
Indeed, and you hit the nail right on the head there about the actually getting a job in it, but how well does it pay?
Yeah.
I think that's with, you know, science and engineering and business and law, you could see that progression pretty much straight away. But for creative industries, I think we sometimes feel like the poor relation. Sorry. So moving on. So, Sarah, we have about 8 minutes. So I've just got a couple of more questions. I'm doing very well today, keeping to time. So, Sarah, in terms of your graduate outcomes, anything, you know, you can tell us about the sort of industries and careers they go.
So one of the things to really mention here, Gita, is most of our courses in science and engineering are accredited by a professional body. So that's a really a plus that students can have on their CVs, which helps them with their future career opportunities. But also want to highlight that some of our students actually manage to find jobs before they graduate.
Oh, wonderful.
So sometimes between second and third year, sometimes halfway through their third year, it's because of those opportunities that we create for them and their constant interaction with employers. We do work with a lot of companies, local authorities, mainly in the south and up to London. One of our students was actually responsible for designing the signage and wayfinding system at Dubai International Airport.
Oh, wonderful.
And our students have gone on to work all over the world. So I'm not going to go through kind of specific companies, but just to show the reach that our students can get to. So places like Canada, Spain, Portugal, Australia, Dubai, Middle East, America, you name it, our students have managed to secure jobs there. And that speaks volumes about the education they receive here.
Yes.
And those transferable skills that Brent mentioned earlier, that is enabling them to go and find and secure these jobs.
Brilliant. So that definitely, you know, the qualifications from Solent are globally recognized. So those degrees are really, as you said, they can go on and work in different countries, be very successful elsewhere. So that gives a real perspective.
Just, I mean, in thinking on that, one of the other ways that that's achieved is we have placements at Solent.
Yes.
So students can actually gain credit towards their degree or extra higher education credit, and they actually then work for companies, and that quite often does then mean that they get offered jobs, so then they can come back for their final year and actually having secured a job, so then they can just focus on their studies, and that's a really fantastic opportunity.
Brilliant. That sounds excellent. Okay, so we're just coming to sort of our last couple of questions now. We're going to sort of focus on sort of one piece of advice you would give a prospective student who's thinking of studying one of your course areas and applying to Solent University. What would you say they should focus on? Starting with you, Brent.
With me, it's definitely the portfolio.
Yeah.
And start to relax. don't try and put a portfolio together or put an audition together that you think we want to hear. We don't want to see that. We're not looking for the polished article, because that's what we're really good at doing. We're really good at taking someone who's just got a raw talent and then actually giving you all the skills you need to turn that talent into, well, a diamond. There's no two ways about it. So think of your portfolio. My advice to you, as always to students, is your portfolio should just be a lot of the work you've got that's not finished, that is rough, that is drawings that you can just talk about to us and that you can flesh out your ideas with us. And the same with an audition. Don't feel that has to be perfect. We have this again and again. What we're looking for is that spark of creativity. That's all. We'll do the rest. So it's always portfolio with us. We're always asked all the audition. And I think the thing that people worry about is, does it need to be perfect? And it doesn't. Very far from it.
And you obviously support and you provide support for students who are applying to Solent in order to how they can put their portfolios together.
Yeah, it's something that we don't just do in schools locally, but we try and encourage everyone to say, well, you know, contact us, talk to the course team, show us your portfolio in advance. I think there's a lot of people misunderstand. It's not like an exam where you've only got one shot. No, bring it to us. Let us see it. We'd love to see it 2 or 3 years in advance. Help you to realise about what you need to put into that portfolio. Yes. So, yeah, come and talk to us as early as you possibly can. We're here to actually help you, because at the end of the day, we're talking about something we utterly, utterly love, which is the subject which we're teaching normally.
Yeah, thank you, Brent. And Claire?
I think for me, it's about coming to an open day. There's a number of online open days as well, if people can't travel to the university, as well as face-to-face, because it's a really important decision. And we know that it's a discussion that's, you know, takes a lot of time within households. So it's come to an open day, meet the team, more importantly, meet some of our students, so you can kind of ask them questions about the student experience, so that you can get all of your questions answered, because we really want to help people make the decision that's right for them.
Yes.
And you can do that by meeting the teams and the students and kind of thinking about, you know, what your future looks like and how we might support that.
Brilliant. And finally, Sarah.
Yeah, just to echo what my colleagues have said, but also to add that if you don't think you did well at school, you didn't get the grades, that's not a problem. Come and talk to us. There are lots and lots of ways that you can still get into higher education, even if you didn't do well in your A-levels or BTECs or qualifications. Also, if you're a mature student and you want to upskill and progress your career, come and talk to us. You will be amazed how much scope there is for you to undertake and study. But don't be afraid of coming and speaking to us. There may be barriers, but a lot of these barriers are probably in people's head.
Yes.
Come and talk to us and we'll help you get through those barriers.
Brilliant. And speaking of that, the next open day is, which is the physical open day, is Saturday the 2nd of December. And if you're interested, please book onto it on solent.ac.uk/open-days. So finally, if a prospective student is looking to sort of find or get further information for your course areas, where can they go? Brent?
The web. First off, straight away, our own website. That'll give you lots of information about the different courses. But don't be worried about just thinking, oh, I've got to know exactly what course it is. Every one of the course team will be able to also tell you about all the other courses that are available to you.
Right.
So whatever you do, start with the web first, I think. Actually have a talk. Find out when those open days are. And then just come on in and talk to us.
Brilliant. Anything you'd like to add, ladies?
I think it's the internet site is solent.ac.uk. Yes. But also there's an email, ask@solent.ac.uk. So if you have any specific questions, then please do email there and that gets sent on to the course teams.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. So finally, I would like to thank you all, Claire, Brent and Sarah, for coming in this afternoon and really talking about the course areas and also really telling us how easy it is in terms of accessing Solent University and the courses. And if anybody's interested, to really get in touch, either come to an open day, go onto our website or ask@solent.ac.uk. So hopefully our listeners have found this discussion insightful and it's been very informative. I've certainly learnt a lot. So thank you very much for coming in this afternoon and giving up your time. And next up is the drive time. So please stay tuned to Unity 101 Community Radio. Good afternoon.
Community Hour is aired live daily from Monday to Friday, always from 3 to 4 p.m. Community Hour is a flexible program accommodating all sorts of discussions, debates, awareness about subjects and issues that affect and benefits the local community. Hosted by our volunteers, members of the public and people from private and public voluntary sector organizations. Community Hour, it's not driven by party politics or religious objectives or any other propaganda, but to provide, share information and give advice, signpost listeners to professionals who would offer detailed service on a one-to-one basis. This is Unity 101 Community Radio on 101.1 FM and online www.unity101.org. Good afternoon.
The Community Hour. This is Unity 101.